All right, you primitive screwheads, listen up.
Guys, we have a code red.
You mean code red the hospital emergency alert, code red the computer worm, or code red the cherry-flavored soft drink from makers of Mountain Dew?
One ring to rule them all.
One ring to find them.
Oh, Jesus.
One ring to bring them all.
And in the darkness, bind them.
Do you know what the problem is with you kids today? You guys think that all science fiction started in 1977 with Star Wars.
Where's my super suit?
What?
You tell me when I saw this woman!
What about movies like Forbidden Planet, The Day the Earth Stood Still, Solaris? What about Logan's Run? Did you ever see that?
No, it's probably some dumb sports movie anyways.
Sports movie?
Okay, we gotta put a spotlight on this geek stuff, man.
What the fuck are you bitches babbling about?
We need to bring this to the mainstream, to the people.
Wow, this is even better than I imagined.
We have to show the world that it ain't just about comics and toys.
I have to possess this comic.
Hey, I tried to teach you how to handle comics in the sixth grade, but oh no, you wanted to play Little League instead.
Looks like a really rich fourth grader lives here.
Look at this place, man.
Go look, he's got a billion toys.
I have a Mego Isis action figure.
Mighty Isis.
We're not about dressing up as Green Lantern.
How often does one see a beloved fictional character come to life?
Every year at Comic-Con.
And hoping for that one day, that one fracking day, for Cylons to bring us down a possible space-age future shit.
That's exactly what it's about.
Oh, really? Yeah, this shit ain't gonna work.
Oh, man! I'm still geeking out about it!
All right, look. There's only one return, okay? And it ain't of the king, it's of the Jedi.
Looks like we got more Lucas hounds here to mock Roddenberry.
You'll have to excuse him. He's not down with the trilogy.
There's only one trilogy, you fucking morons.
Oh, Star Wars geek.
Oh, I'm the geek? Look at you two whipping out your preciouses.
I'm gonna kick your ass back to the Shire if you don't shut your fucking mouth.
Where the stars in this piece of shit?
All right, guys, you have your mission. Go forth and wreak havoc.
I say we stay here and fight it out.
Come on, you fuckers think that just because a guy reads comics he can't start some shit? I'll fucking take all you want!
When trumpets were mellow and every gal only had one fellow, no need to remember when, 'cause everything old is new again.
Well, howdy.
Hello.
How are you feeling this week?
I am much better. Thank
you. You sound much better.
Yes. I understand that I was a little sicker, lower in the mix last week.
Well, you were backing off the mic a little.
I was.
Understandably so.
Yep.
You were ill and you didn't want to give your pervert breath into the...
Pervert? Oh, yeah, that.
You were mouth breathing a lot last week, so...
It was awful.
So that would have probably picked up in the mics quite annoyingly.
I would like to point out also that it is the middle of August.
It is not quite
the middle, but we're into August. We have not had a too darn hot episode.
I know.
Knock on wood.
You know why? Because the too darn hot days seem to be falling on Thursdays or Tuesdays.
I know.
We've been lucky.
We're dodging it.
And you know, I should say, we haven't changed our recording day in, I think we've had one other day in the 6 years.
Mm-hmm.
Occasionally we did Thursdays, but it's almost always been Wednesdays.
Almost always.
So it's just luck this year.
Yeah.
Thus far. We still have plenty of time.
Well, this episode, of course, is episode number 258.
Yes.
And we are calling it Everything Old is the Future Past.
Right.
Why, you may ask.
You know, I will never get that right coming out of the segment, right?
Everything old is the future past.
Yeah, you know I'll screw it up at least once this episode. I can almost guarantee it. I'm just
prefacing
it now.
Say it with me.
Everything old is the future past.
That you got it perfect on the first try.
Ice.
You'll never get it again.
I know. All right. Well, we might as well talk about it.
Sure.
Since we brought it up.
And speaking of talking, OG, you know, the fans, y'all out there in the world.
That's right.
You can actually talk to us via the GVM line.
You can do that at 425-920-6050.
And you can let us know what you think of the show. If you have a question or a comment or about something we have talked about or something you want us to talk about or, you know, any of those things.
Et cetera. Yes, and we encourage you to use that. And we encourage you to use all of the things that we give to you.
Yeah.
The Facebook page.
Uh-huh.
Where's that at? Message boards. Facebook.com /BKGeekStuff.
Okay.
The message boards over at October Toys, at the Twitter at BKGeekStuff and at GeekStuffOG. All of those are viable options. Communicate with the show. So.
Yes.
So producer and director.
Uh-huh.
Brian Singer.
Okay. Problem.
Okay. Why?
Who allowed him back in the director's chair of an X-Men movie after he fucked X-Men 3?
Okay, but we're all bitter about it.
Yeah.
But let's remember that he didn't fuck X-Men 3 by directing a shitty movie.
No.
I mean, he did direct a shitty movie.
Yeah, he did, but it was Superman Returns. It was
Superman Returns.
He killed two birds with one decision.
That's right. But my point is, Bryan Singer did a very good job with the first two films.
He did excellent. One and two. Excellent job.
So,
also created House.
Right. And look, Usual Suspects. I mean, clearly he's a
apt pupil.
Right. Yeah. He's a good director. I don't have a problem with him stepping back into the chair.
Okay.
And I think this story might kind of explain it a little bit.
Go ahead.
So he apparently let the cat out of the bag in a recent interview where he confirmed the title of what they're calling. Now, when I say what they're calling, I think, I don't know if it's official, but what the article is calling X-Men First Class sequel, Days of Future Past.
Okay.
But then later on in the article that I read, they refer to it as the First Class follow-up. See, I'm taking this as just the next X-Men film and the X-Men film world.
Uh-huh.
Okay? So, of course, the speculation surrounding this. Well, why don't you give a brief synopsis on Days of Future Past?
It's essentially, we see the world of the future and the X-Men being hunted down and killed.
Right. And it involves what? Kitty Pryde comes back from the future, right? Doesn't she come back, to present time in the storyline? It was only like a two or three issue.
Or is it the other way?
Story. No, I think she
goes forward.
No, I think she comes backwards to prevent it from
happening. Is that what it is?
It's been...
I haven't read it in years.
It was issue 241, 242, 243.
So you're talking like 80.
Yeah, like 81. Like 80, 81. So it's probably been quite some time.
That's 120. What issue did you say it was?
241.
No, it had to be.
The first one.
Yeah, definitely in the 80s.
So it was in the 80s.
It's the Byrne era.
Yes, it is the Byrne
era. Byrne, John Byrne, and who writing? Claremont. That's a Claremont storyline.
Well, it would make sense. It's a time-traveling story. So
I've written myself into a corner. Let me yank a character from the future to sort it out. Stupid Claremont.
Either way, the speculation on the interwebs is that they're going to use this movie to erase the effects of X-Men Last Stand.
Okay, what they should use this movie for is to unify the continuity in all of the movies that have preceded it.
Well, I think that they might be able to do that, though.
That's five movies you're talking about.
I understand.
Okay.
I understand.
Five.
I know.
Wolverine also.
I include Wolverine in there. It's Wolverine is a problem because Wolverine kind of sits on a shelf all to itself because Wolverine had Emma Frost, but Emma Frost was
but it wasn't Emma Frost and it was someone's sister and then there was Cyclops and there was,
I don't know that you can ever fully merge that continuity.
You can,
but you could certainly give it the old college try.
I say let them try. They can't fuck it up any worse than Bryan Singer did by not directing the third movie.
So I am excited to have Bryan Singer return to that franchise.
I am tepid.
You know, I agree that he made a bad decision leaving the franchise. I agree that he directed what was an abysmal Superman movie. Although I don't entirely blame that on him either. Mostly on him, but not entirely on him.
Really? Who do you blame it on? Brandon Routh?
No, actually, I think Brandon Routh was the only part of that movie that was good.
Now suffering the curse.
Right, yes.
That boy couldn't... I mean, when was the last time you saw him in something good other than Scott Pilgrim?
An episode of Chuck.
Exactly. Like, what has he been... Right. He did that movie that they thought was going to take off when he's like the... He fights the supernaturals. Things at night. I can't remember what it is.
I know what you're talking about.
But I really... They were so... I had such high hopes that that was going to become like a thing.
And it just did not.
Who saw it?
Right.
I don't know a single person that saw it. So...
So there's that.
Yeah. Poor Brandon Routh.
So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the story develops.
Poor what's his name that's putting the tights on this time. By the way, did we discuss the San Diego trailer?
We did. We discussed not only the San Diego trailer, but the The teaser, the full trailer. Remember Deadliest Catch, the movie? Yeah. So anyway, what'll be interesting is, was Wolverine in First Class?
Was Wolverine he in First right? Class?
He wasn't. Yes. Was he in X-Men yep. First Class?
Think about it. Think about it.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There
okay.
you go. All right. Best cameo ever.
Okay.
Because it was not announced at all.
Right.
No one knew about that. We saw X-Men First Class on opening day.
Right.
And the audience was screaming.
As they should have
when
been.
Of course, because that was like the best kept secret of that movie.
Yeah, and how they kept it secret in today's day and age is beyond.
And not only that, but the fact that, not only that they kept it secret and that they did it, but the way they handled it, you know. Yeah. You know, my name is Charles Xavier. Fuck off.
Right. Yeah.
Or go fuck yourself.
Whatever
it was that he said. Yeah.
I don't think it was that harsh.
And they just
of turned,
they spun and just walked right out. It was brilliant.
Yep.
Brilliant cameo.
So yeah, I mean, this obviously has to mean it has to, if you're going to stick to the storyline, it has to be a more pronounced role for Wolverine back in this film.
If it's Days of Future Past, maybe. I don't think it,
you think
I just
they're just stealing the title? And
I think they're just stealing the title for, you know, namesake.
Names recognition.
You know, it's kind of like when you name a podcast, you know, with the person's name who has had some notoriety talking about the topic of right. the podcast on other in other media and on other, you know, on other venues. It's kind of like doing that.
All right. Fair enough.
Just saying.
Just putting it out there?
Just saying.
All right. Let's move on. Ghostbusters 3 without me.
Yeah, not happening.
Moving forward without Bill Murray.
That's just the death knell of that movie.
So let's talk about the rumor mill surrounding this. The thought is that they're going to move forward because Bill Murray is being a stick in the mud. And rightfully so. I don't begrudge him being a stick in the mud.
Nobody wants to see old men chasing around ghosts.
So the thought, at least what people are speculating, is that they're going to begin production on the movie.
And hopefully get him.
And hopefully get him to maybe even just cameo or have some sort of involvement in the movie.
It's just
which
gonna be
might
one of those
happen.
Things
you never know.
We need Venkman. We need Venkman. And they go to Venkman and he's like, you know, sitting in an office or something. Yeah, and he's like, hey, guys, I'm not doing this anymore. You know, this is just, I'm past this now, blah, blah, blah. But then at the end, at the critical moment when they need him, he shows up and then it's all of them again.
Right.
And they're crossing the streams.
Right. He,
or
he shows up with a proton pack.
Yeah, exactly.
Right. They defeat, you know, the Michelin Man or some iteration of
some other. It's what's his name? It's Toucan Sam. Some other awful cartoon food character.
Right, exactly.
The Jolly Green Giant.
See, now that actually would be pretty funny.
Sprout would be pretty funny.
Sprout would be funny. All right, let's move forward.
Okay.
We only have two more stories, and then we're going to take our first break.
Wow.
Joss Whedon, to no one's surprise, has been locked in for the Avengers 2. This is not a shock to anybody.
Nope.
I don't think, at least. I don't think so. But
I'm not shocked.
So what is the surprise? And something that kind of was teased or announced a couple weeks ago, but I don't think we actually mentioned it on the show.
Okay.
I think we might have had a crazy week that week, is that Marvel was looking to develop an Avengers-related television show for ABC. The speculation, and pretty much right out of the gate, they said that if they were going to do it, it wasn't actually going to be any of the Avengers. So naturally it went to, well, it's going to be a S.H.I.E.L.D. show.
Oh yeah, we did hear something about that.
So the announcement that Whedon is on board to do the second film also contained confirmation that he is going to helm the television project as well.
The television project should be Guardians of the Galaxy.
No, the Guardians of the Galaxy is going to be a feature length film.
I'm just saying. That'd be a good topic.
I actually think that a S.H.I.E.L.D. type show could be very well received.
Yeah.
It could be like it would almost kind of be like an X-Files. You know what I mean? It would kind of be like S.H.I.E.L.D. is operating outside of the scope of the regular government, dealing with things that the regular government can't handle.
Okay.
And S.H.I.E.L.D. is involved. Who knows? Maybe this is the way that Agent Coulson comes back, because maybe it takes place continuity-wise prior to Avengers. You know what I mean?
Maybe.
So I don't know. I think the Shield show would
a lot of hopeful reaching on your part there.
Well, I think the Coulson part is probably hopeful reaching. I think the Shield part is probably look. You don't bring Whedon on board to do something that's not in some way tied into that universe.
I guess.
Right. I mean, you gotta think he's keeping his hand in the universe.
We'll have to wait and see.
All right. I'm calling this the Bravo Sierra news segment of the day.
Not the segments. They're the story. The whole thing is the segment.
True. All right. This was on Variety. All right. This came from Variety. But I'm still saying it's bullshit. Apparently.
Four films.
No. Apparently.
That's really The Hobbit. No, Lord. Did you hear, four films.
Did you hear, though? This wasn't actually in the news. But did you hear that apparently The Hobbit 3 has no actual script or budget yet? They're like working on some of those details.
They're trying to.
So it's going to contain more than just the cutting floor.
They're still filming.
Yeah, I know. But originally it was, well, it's going to contain a lot of that. We have so much stuff that we're going to cut that can't fit.
Yeah.
So apparently there's other additional. Anyway, whatever.
Yeah, it'll all work out in the end, dude.
All right. So apparently Warner Brothers has approached Mula director to head up the Justice League. And this is where you take a guess. And we'll never come up with the answer.
Brett Ratner.
No, because that would just be atrocious.
That would be appropriate because shit produces shit.
I'm not going to actually make you guess through this.
Well, no. You got a hint? Come on. Make a little fun.
All right. This particular director.
Steven Soderbergh.
No. Has been involved in comic book movies in the past.
Okay. Let me think for a minute. Miloš Forman.
No.
Okay. Steven Spielberg.
No, younger.
Younger. Okay, then Spielberg.
Then Spielberg.
It's almost everyone.
Think someone in the now.
Marty Scorsese.
No, younger.
Younger, okay. Yeah, he's old too.
Yeah. yeah. I think he's older than Spielberg, to be honest.
Francis Ford Coppola.
No. You're not going to guess this.
He's younger. Come on, just give me a second. U-Bowl.
All right. No. Oh my God, no. All right.
What?
All right. The
I need
the,
another it, clue. It, obviously,
it was with the competitor. It was with a Marvel character that this.
Yep. Was it the guy that directed Daredevil?
No, but you're getting very close.
Was it the guy that directed Ghost Rider?
Nope, you're getting further away.
Oh, colder. Okay. Was it the guy that did FF?
How about it was the guy that played Daredevil?
What?
Apparently, they have approached Ben Affleck to helm the Justice League project.
Wow.
And on that note...
And did he say no?
No, there has been no word out of the Affleck camp.
Attention, Ben Affleck. Do not take that gig.
Say no.
They are setting you up to fail. Walk away, Ben.
But you still
Walk
have the chance.
Away. You will not get... anything, but it'll be the Geely year, a jiggly, what was it? GG, whatever the fuck Geely. That movie, Geely. It'll be Geely and Jersey Girl combined all over again. All
right, now let's talk about a little side thing.
Your new name will be Benefailure.
Right. So, wow. I think that's what I take when I get constipated.
Well, I'm telling you, holy crap. Can we get word to Ben Affleck that he should so not take this movie, it's not even funny?
Call up your friend Kevin Smith. Tell him to get it to Ben.
I'm sure if he's even entertaining the notion, that phone call has already been made.
Let's talk about a thing about Ben Affleck.
Okay.
Ben Affleck doesn't direct films that he doesn't also act in. That's pretty much it.
So far, that's true.
Right? And I think he's come out and said that he doesn't have an interest in directing a film that he doesn't in some way, shape, or form have a role in.
Yeah.
Who would he play?
He could. Listen.
Flash?
Listen. Well, first of all, hold on.
It could be a small role.
I was going to say, I mean, because Favreau was in the Iron Man movies. Right.
I understand.
As whatever the character's name is. I forget. It's not Foggy Nelson.
Normally,
that's what he was in
he
Daredevil.
He normally has a lead. Mr. Affleck normally has a lead.
So he's saying
films.
Ben Affleck as Batman or Superman?
Oh, God. No, neither.
No?
No. I don't think so. I don't think he could do it. I don't think I would want to see him. First of all, there's no way they're going to reboot. If they're going to move forward with Justice League, they have to move forward with Caviezel as Superman. They have to. Because if they have to start from scratch again, it's the death of that.
It's
franchise.
Already the death.
Okay, I understand that. So take Superman out of
there's
the running.
There's no Wonder Woman. Green Lantern was a failure. It's not the Nolan. It's not going to be, what's his name?
Maybe he'll play Green Lantern.
Is it going to be?
I'd say The Flash. If he was going to play someone, I'd go with The Flash.
Is it going to be, what's Joseph Gordon-Levitt as the new Batman? Is that?
Well.
No, there's no well. That's never going to happen.
I know. Look, I'm just retelling you. I'm just telling you. Before we go to break, one last thing. Since you brought up Martin Scorsese. Which
it's Marty Scorsese.
I know, Marty Scorsese. Which made me think of something else, Did you see the image of Daniel Day-Lewis as Abe Lincoln?
No, that's not Scorsese.
It's not Scorsese.
It's Spielberg.
But Scorsese made me think of Daniel Day-Lewis in Gangs of New York.
Oh.
Which made me think of Daniel Day-Lewis in the image of... Have you seen it?
No.
Holy fuck.
Yeah,
good. Holy shit. He is Abe Lincoln.
It's a, dude, it's like every part played.
I know, but it's...
Do you remember... Listen.
It's so fucking creepy.
Listen, do you remember...
It's scary.
Do you remember when he played Jim Morrison?
And the picture is him in the theater seat?
Yeah.
It's fucked up.
Do you remember...
It's fucked up.
Do you remember when he played Jim Morrison in the Doors movie? Directed by Oliver Stone? Do you remember that? Remember how awesome he looked at that? Remember when he played Malcolm X?
No, that wasn't...
Remember when he played Malcolm X in the Malcolm X movie?
Oh, I do. I do.
Remember how awesome he was then?
He was.
He looked just like Malcolm X.
He did look exactly like Malcolm X.
Do you remember when he played Nixon?
I do.
In the Nixon movie?
I do.
He looked just like Nixon. Scary. Scary like Nixon. I'm just saying.
This is going to lead to someplace really dangerous. Right, that's all. I think it's actually led to someplace dangerous, and we've ice skated around it. So we vaulted over it. Let's Olympics tie.
What?
Let's keep.
Is that your Olympics tie?
Let's keep moving.
That's terrible.
All right. So no, the actual Olympics tie-in is: was she from Brazil, Mexico, somewhere in Central America? A girl doing a floor routine dance to the music from The Legend of Zelda. Let's take our first break.
Okay. OG, we'll take that break, and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 258, Everything Old is the Future Past.
Ahoy, hoy, and welcome to Game Stuff. I'm your host, Coke Logic. If you're thinking about finally subscribing to play Star Wars The Old Republic, don't. Save your money, because SWTOR is going free to play this fall. The announcement comes after the subscriptions finally dip below a million subscribers, even though BioWare has said that SWTOR only needs a minimum of 500,000 subscribers to break even. The game has been out since December and just simply isn't setting the world on fire. So EA and BioWare are doing the smartest thing they can do and let you play for free. You'll now be able to play past level 15 all the way up to the level cap of 50. There will continue to be a paid subscription if you like, which will give you bonuses. But unless I can unlock a golden tauntaun, free is the perfect price for me to play Star Wars The Old Republic. No date on when this shift will take effect other than the season of fall. Little Big Planet Karting is coming out for the PlayStation 3 this holiday. And who gives a flying shit? It was my understanding that the original Big Planet let you play so many user-created levels you'd never need another game. To which they brought up Little Big Planet 2, which said, yes, who needs a sequel when you have such a powerful level editor, but now we're giving you more tools. You'll be able to create any sort of game you can think of. So if there are all these very powerful tools, why isn't Little Big Planet Karting a free game that is created for Little Big Planet 2? Or why isn't it just a skin pack for Mod Nation Racer, that game where you create custom content as well? Little Big Planet Karting is a Mario Kart rip-off cash grab that will be available on November 6th. Enjoy! Currently hanging by a thread, THQ has made a very wise decision to cancel the director Guillermo del Toro's first foray into video game development with Insane. After being announced in December of 2010, not a single image of gameplay has been shown. Adding insult to injury, Insane was to be the first of a trilogy of games. How about developers stop talking about trilogies until they have more than just a font picked out? I hate to see a game canceled, but there wasn't much to be excited for.
Come on!
And if you're a fan of Guillermo del Toro, please send all hate mail to OG with the subject line, "Hey Kev." Ubisoft has Xbox 360 and PC owners right where they want us. Bare ass dangling in a Judas cradle. Look it up. Exclusive to Assassin's Creed 3 on PlayStation 3, there will exclusively be 60 minutes of exclusive gameplay exclusively on the PS3. No word if there's an expiration to the exclusivity deal, but I hope so, because I want everything Assassin's Creed has to offer. Assassin's Creed 3 will be out October 30th. Enough time has passed since the end of Mass Effect 3 and the Extended Cut DLC for EA to start charging for content again. The next DLC will be called Leviathan. The DLC is single-player gameplay, and while there are plot details out there, I'm not going to spoil anything. Although I personally feel like I finished the fight to take back Earth, and I'm pretty done with the Mass Effect trilogy, the Leviathan DLC will be 3 to 4 hours, which kind of pulls me back in because it sounds like it's going to be a more substantial DLC than just shooting some Geth and deciding to go ahead and flip that switch. Or not. No release date, but the Leviathan DLC is expected in the coming months. The DLC will cost $10 or 800 Microsoft Fun Bucks. Capcom recently announced that they have a well-kept secret. After playing through the three main campaigns of Resident Evil 6, there is a secret fourth campaign which is unlocked. In this surprise fourth story, you'll be playing as Ada Wong. The information about this fourth playable character was leaked by Capcom themselves when they publicly announced they have a fourth playable character. Why in the hell wouldn't you just keep the secret? It would have been a fantastic surprise for everyone who played through the main game. And if it was kept a secret, the people who are dedicated enough to play through all of the three campaigns of Resident Evil 6 would have found it the most rewarding to find that there's a fourth story. Capcom has made a fail once again. This is Coke Logic signing off for Game Stuff.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 258. Everything's old is days of...
Damn, you suck.
Everything old is future past.
No!
Again. Damn, I told you I was going to screw it up.
Try one more time. Think. Concentrate.
All right. Everything old is future past.
Is the future past.
Is the... Oh, let that... The. All right, it's close enough.
Everything old is the future past.
That's not so bad in the grand scheme of things.
Sentence makes absolutely no sense, by the way. I know. It's just a mashup.
It's just really a terrible
mashup.
Can I just
say this to you?
Sure.
When he played Ray Charles in Ray, exactly like Ray Charles.
I was convinced.
Exactly.
I was convinced, oh, Georgia. I was there. It was.
I'm telling you.
Sweet Georgia Brown.
And you're
there.
And you're just like, wow, that is freaking amazing.
That, it was damn good.
Daniel Day-Lewis as Ray Charles, and you would think, no way. But way.
Totally there.
Geek Stuff, DVD news.
Not really a lot of DVDs this week.
Okay.
I got a lot of you. New releases that came out. The Lorax.
That's worth mentioning.
That's pretty worth mentioning.
Yeah, that was a really good movie. I heard. I didn't get to see it, unfortunately.
I think really this week, though, for me at least, it's going to be more about
Blu-ray
releases.
Yeah, you know what? I'm noticing. And you know how you know that it's a trend? Because EW is now listing Blu-ray re-releases.
I know.
Movies that are being released on Blu-ray for the first time. I heard, I think I heard Romy and Michelle's High School Reunion was one.
Adventures in Babysitting.
Spaceballs. Which, by the way, we should mention Adventures in Babysitting, worth picking up. Why? Go.
Because the little kid was dressed as Thor.
Partially, yes. Partially, it does have to do with Thor. It's because the insane... what's his name? Private Pyle actually played the character who she thought was Thor.
Oh, yes. I know who you're talking about, but I know who you're talking about.
I always forget that cat's name. He's insane, though.
But, so Adventures in Babysitting, Spaceballs 25th Anniversary, and Clue out on the Blu-ray.
Vincent D'Onofrio.
Yes.
Vincent D'Onofrio, after he did Full Metal Jacket,
right,
which is also getting a 25th Anniversary
as
Blu-ray release. He gained all the weight for it and lost all the weight and did Adventures in Babysitting.
Right.
And he was all buff and the girl, little girl, thought he was Thor. It's just a kind of a little funny geek moment in a movie.
Clue is a big one
Clue,
for me.
Uh-huh.
Spaceballs is a good one.
Spaceballs is also an anniversary edition.
It is 25th anniversary.
So there's a bunch of stuff. So I think Entertainment Weekly had a little interview with Mel on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I think so.
Mel Brooks.
Yeah, I think so. Yeah, probably recently.
Yep.
So, there you go. Cool. It's mostly re-released.
Geek Stuff. Comics, books,
right,
and graphic
Comico
novels.
Bookos.
Yep. One that OG regularly misses. Black Mouse Guard, the Black Axe.
I'm a trader waiter.
Number
on those
number
ones.
Five. Yes, good point. I actually get the trades on this also, but I just can't wait that long because I'm so excited to read this awesome book.
You know what? The trades are just so phenomenal.
I know.
I want to encourage everybody to pick it up because obviously without the individuals, we don't get the trades.
Right.
But the trades are just so damn nice.
Archaia, www.archaia.com, A-R-C-H-A-I-A. Yeah, that's it. .com. We've been talking about this book. David Peterson has done this show at least twice. It is one of the finest books out there. The art is second to none. The story, second to none. It is a tremendous little, it's not a traditional format. There's nothing about this book right. that's traditional, and it rocks and it rolls. Every single,
all the time.
Every single one.
Yep.
We also have talked about the Mouse Guard role-playing game.
We have.
The book, the box set came out. We talked about that.
Yep.
I mean, I don't understand why more people haven't gone on to this. I understand the whole animal with swords thing.
It is like phenomenal. Redwall for the same reason. You all should love it.
Yeah, it is really, really fantastic.
Mr. Peterson does an amazing, outstanding, phenomenal job.
He does. Speaking of phenomenal job, Scott Snyder and Becky Cloonan.
Yes. All right. So I normally get to go to the shop right before we record. Uh-huh. So I didn't get a chance to thumb through this yet. How is her art?
You're going to hate it.
Am I really?
And let me tell you why. There are three different artists in this book. Pages 1 through 21 is Becky Cloonan.
Okay.
Pages 22 to 28 are Andy Clark as the artist.
Okay.
And also James Tynion IV is the co-writer for 22 to 28.
Now, I'm
flipping through to see if 22 to 28.
Is that a Talon story? Because I think that's the guy that's going to be doing Talon.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I believe so. When Talon comes out next month?
Well, I'm looking to see if that is where the story stops and the new one picks up. Oh, yeah, I think so. It's a pretty... Wow.
Oh, that's a drastic change.
Wow. That's a drastic, awesome change. Okay, so here's how this goes. Andy Clark, awesome. Becky Cloonan, Batman is not an anime book.
Yeah, it's a little cartoony, and it's a shame because
it's anime. Look at their hair.
I see.
Look at their eyes.
It's a shame because Greg Capullo's artwork on this book has been
phenomenal.
So fucking good.
Did he need a vacation? Maybe
I don't know.
I hope
he comes back, to be honest with you.
Wow. Wow. Is this awful? Oh, man. In fact, someone should be writing letters because this book is terrible.
Well, I am hoping that Scott Snyder's story.
Holy
I've already heard
crap.
Positive things about this issue, so I
really?
Look very much forward to reading it.
I'm not
it
saying
well.
The story is bad or not bad. What I'm saying here is the art by Becky, what's her name? She needs to be, Cloonan needs to go
it's,
right back to Viz or wherever she
well,
came from.
The problem I have with it is I don't necessarily hate her style. I don't like her style for a Batman book,
like
especially a book that's been,
for anything.
I think especially a book that's been pretty gritty. Do you know what I mean? It's been dark.
It's
and
phenomenal
rough and,
though when the other artist takes over.
Yeah, it's
striking.
It looks pretty awesome.
Really, really nice stuff. I mean, what a contrast. Holy cow. Whoever's editing this book ought to be shot for allowing this to be printed, not getting this other cat, Andy Clark, to do the first pages. Wow.
Ooh. We will see.
I'm a little upset. Not making me quite upset is Batman and Robin. Peter Tomasi and Patrick Gleason.
I've been hearing really good things about this book. This is one I don't read. I don't read Batman and Robin.
You don't?
No, I don't. You know, maybe I'll check it out. I think the first trade is out at this point. So, you know, I could at least get
really?
That.
Trader waitering
yeah.
on Batman and Robin?
Yeah, I might be able to get the individual issues, but I'd probably get the trade.
Counting down the days myself, OG, until I don't have to read any Marvel books except Captain America. Daredevil has not been announced still.
Have you seen the new, I think it was just today, maybe it was yesterday, the artwork for the Hulk?
No.
He looks kind of like, what if Colossus became the Hulk?
Oh, really?
Like that short cut, cropped really? Colossus hair, and his muscles almost look like he has armor underneath
Ooh,
the green.
Really?
No, terrible.
Awesome.
Also
Good
out
job,
this week,
Marvel.
Also out this week, Batman Arkham Unhinged, of course, following the story Batman Arkham City. This has been a really fun read.
Uh-huh.
This is a new book that came out that was brought to my attention by a listener of the show. It's put out by Image.
Okay.
It's called The Harvest.
Okay.
And I think it's supposed to be like a post-apocalyptic-y kind of you know, like harvesting human organs for money and kind of, I don't know. It looks kind of interesting. I definitely want to check it out.
Okay.
I'll come back with a better review of that next week.
Let me know if it's good enough for me to, you know, trade or waiter.
I will do that. I will say that something about that cover to me.
Yeah, it's nice.
Is very indicative of Akira.
It's the radio. Oh, no. Of Akira, it's the whole thing. Yeah.
Right? Is it, doesn't,
Someone's a fan.
Right? Akira jumps off the page of me, and that really helped drew me in.
Sure. Not in a bad
way. In an awesome way. And this is not new by any way, shape, or form.
Okay.
This has 70 issues out so far.
Right.
But a fan of the show, Blue Healer, said, you guys need to check out a couple of different books. And I recommend you check out The Boys, which is a book written by Garth Ennis.
Uh-huh.
So I have read now the first three or four issues of The Boys.
Pretty harsh.
But really good.
I've heard.
There's only one panel that kind of I even thought was a little harsh. And I understand. Look, I read Preacher. I know how harsh Ennis can get.
Right.
You know? But something about it was just like, it almost was a little, it didn't offend me. It just seemed a little too excessive. But man, further review of this coming up in another episode.
Heard that our friend Oming has a book coming out that is a little
rough around the edges.
Controversial.
Well, that's good. I like Oming. I like what he does.
Got some trades for you to check out, OG.
I think I have to get that.
Yeah, this is from Dark Horse. This is Matt Wagner's Grendel Omnibus Volume 1.
So now, what does that collect exactly?
That's exactly
it. Looks like it's Grendel Rose. All right. Let me apologize, because I know somewhere out there is a Grendel fan that's going to say, you're a moron, OG. I expect this by now.
You know what? If you'd like to call OG a moron,
425-920-6050.
I'm just saying.
Was Grendel Rose the female Grendel?
I'm not telling you a thing. I'm not helping you out of this.
I'm not entirely sure which Grendel it is on the cover of the book then.
Okay.
It's been a long time since I've read any Grendel books.
Ready?
Yes.
This volume collects Grendel, Devil by the Deed 25th Anniversary Edition.
Okay.
Issues 1 through 4 of the Dark Horse comic book series Grendel Black, White, and Red.
Okay.
Issues 1 through 4 of the Dark Horse comic book series Grendel Red, White, and Black. Issues 0 through 8 of the Dark Horse comic book series Grendel Behold the Devil, along with material that originally appeared on MySpace, stories from the Comico collection, Decade, a Dark Horse short story collection, issues 49 and 50 of Dark Horse Extra, Dark Horse Maverick 2001, and the Liberty Annual 2011.
Okay.
So I have no idea what's in this
book. I have no idea what's in that book. It's been a really long time since I've read anything Grendel.
But
I liked Grendel Prime.
Mm-hmm.
That was the spiky one.
Yep.
I liked the female Grendel with the long, like, Was it a scythe?
The same weapon they all use.
Yeah. I mean, I like the character of Grendel.
Well, let me tell you.
And I love Matt Wagner. So
they have 4 volumes of this planned.
Okay.
Volume 2. Actually, we should say this volume is going to run you, before we go on to other volumes, $25.
All right.
It's slightly undersized from the original.
Okay.
And it contains over 500 pages.
Okay.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive.
Volume 2 will be 552 pages, coming in December 2012.
Right.
Volume 3, 560 pages, coming June 2013. And volume 4, 542 pages, coming December 2013.
And what was the price on that?
$25.
Wow.
You couldn't buy the back issues.
Oh, no. God,
in
no.
This, first of all, there's material in here you couldn't buy in
you
back
know,
issues.
Dark Horse... Dark Horse knows how to do the omnibus.
No doubt. No doubt.
They do it really well with Star Wars.
Yeah.
They do it really well with the Buffy books.
Uh-huh. Everything.
Yeah, I mean, Dark Horse knows how to do the omnibus.
Alien Legion,
yeah.
Speaking of aliens.
No, not at all.
Not at all.
Speaking of aliens.
This is Scott Pilgrim. Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life by Brian Lee O'Malley. Color edition number 1.
We don't say color edition anymore. That's
yes, we do. It sensitive. Says right on the book, color edition.
Oh, okay.
No, racist. I didn't say colored edition.
I'm just saying. God, I want to be careful. I want to be sensitive to our listeners.
What is wrong with you?
Nothing. I was concerned. I don't want you to have to issue an apology.
I'm looking to see what this one reproduces, if it says.
I think it's the first volume or the first 2 volumes. Of Scott Pilgrim,
that's
which
what
was
like
6 or 7 volumes total, I think.
I don't know. It does not say, sir.
Maybe it's just volume 1. Maybe they're doing one-offs.
No, they're not one-offs because it's too thick.
I don't know. Those little books were really thick. Remember, those were those were like manga style books.
I know.
Short, squat, super thick books. That could just be volume one.
I feel you, sir. I feel you. I'm just trying to get an accurate representation, and I have nothing. I have no information to give you on what this reprints.
All right, fine.
I hate to say.
Well, we'll find out. Maybe someone knows. They let us know.
I don't know. I can tell you this.
What?
This is volume one.
Okay.
It's going to run you $25.
Okay.
It does not have 500 pages in it.
All right.
Because it is a hardcover.
It is a hardcover.
It is in full color.
Right.
It has 193-4 pages in it. Okay. Well worth it.
Sure.
Hardcover book. The Scott Pilgrim stuff is really, really iconic.
Well, it's really...
And made more so by the film.
Right, but Brian Lee O'Malley's style is really kind of... It's like an amalgam of like a bunch of different styles.
Yeah, it is.
It's kind of like...
It's unique.
It's kind of like Powerpuff Girls, anime, traditional animation. It's weird. But I love it. I mean, I love the guy's work, so...
And I have never read these.
I've read only the first... 3 volumes?
And I waited, I think I waited exactly the right amount of time, because now they're in full color.
So there you go.
Scott Pilgrim's story continues in Scott Pilgrim Color Hardcover Volume 2, Scott Pilgrim versus the World. That will be fall 2012. Volume 3 will be spring 2013. Volume 4, fall 2013.
So it's 2 a year.
It would seem, yes, sir.
All right. For several years.
For several years.
Well, that's awesome.
Yeah,
good for them.
I'm very excited about that, because that'll actually be as much time as it will take me to probably get through.
Good for that Canadian man.
He is a fan of Canada.
I believe he's from Canada, isn't he?
And a fan.
Well, of course.
Some people are from Canada and not fans of Canada.
Right. I'm not. Can't think of one,
but I'm just... Why? What do you have against Canadians?
Nothing.
A lot of Canadians listen to this program.
Although I did watch that soccer match. With she stepped on the U.S. player's head.
I have no idea.
That was rough. About.
I'm a geek.
Have you been watching the Olympics at all?
No, I certainly have not.
I have it on in the background while I'm reading
comics.
Was
there any lightsabers going on in the Olympics?
I don't know. That's next year.
Is it?
That's the next Summer Olympics on Hoth.
Yeah, is it? Go on back Hoth? And... What's wrong with you? That was a beautiful joke had you said the Winter Olympics on Hoth.
I know.
You had it. It was there.
Go back and listen to episode 1 of Big Kev's Geek Stuff, where we talk about the pitch to bring the Winter Olympics to Hoth.
We did not.
Do you remember that?
We did not.
There was that guy that was trying to, he had a whole website. I think it was the first episode of the show.
No way.
Yes, there was a guy, whenever that was, 6 years ago, he was,
really?
He had a campaign. It was a bullshit campaign, clearly, because there was no Hoth, but he had a whole campaign about bringing the Winter Olympics to Hoth.
Stupid.
We joked about what the.
Are you sure you didn't make this up?
I'm positive. Go back and listen. If it's not the first episode of the show, it's within the first 5.
Let's talk about this from ID. Oh, we should say also the Scott Pilgrim book was from Oni Press.
I like Oni Press.
We didn't say
they put out some unique stuff.
And in yet another company's fantastic release. This is from IDW. This is The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle.
Lovely.
Now, this has been a beloved children's book.
Right.
A beloved children's movie.
That's right.
And now a beloved children's comic book, yet not really for kids.
Mm.
I mean, for kids, but kind of harsh. And let's talk about the style of the book. The art is phenomenal.
All right.
Phenomenal. I'm shocked about how good the art is in this book. I'm trying to see. Oh, here we go. Peter Gillis did the adaptation, the art by Rene DeLiz.
Okay.
Okay. Whoever Rene DeLiz is, awesome. Totally, totally awesome.
He's got a knack.
Yeah. And what
the colors look beautiful. Who colored the book?
I mean, whoever did all of it, really. Inks and colors by Ray Dillon. Go Ray Dillon.
Yeah. Beautiful. Wow.
We should really contact them, because this is, I mean, this book is phenomenal.
Is that going to be your next big sketch? Last Unicorn sketch?
Yeah. I wish it was a joke, but it's not.
Maybe
it's
they'll be at the New York Comic Con.
Maybe they will. That old gag. Listen, let me put it to you this way.
Put it
They've adapted the book, they've also used some of the sort of design elements character-wise from the cartoon. Now, you've seen the cartoon.
Sure.
So if you thumb through there, I think you'll see some familiarity. And I think that's intention. Wow. I told you. And I think that's intentionally done, because they're trying to, you know, make it all in the family, so to speak.
Dude, this guy should do...
This girl.
Lady.
If it's a girl. I think it's a girl.
Oh, I thought you said it was a
Renee? Gentleman.
Well, I assumed Renee was... I know. It's a terrible assumption. I thought it was like, you know...
You're a misogynist.
You know, like... Renee could be a man's name.
$24.99 is a popular number this week, OG.
Wasn't that the character on True Blood season one?
Renee?
Yeah, it was the Cajun guy. Yeah. His name was Renee. See? I'm not entirely crazy.
You're totally right, OG. $25. This is also not 500 pages.
You know, Daniel Day-Lewis looked just like Renee DeLiz when he was working on that book.
It's terrible. This is about 167 pages or so.
Right.
For $25, you're definitely going to want to pick that up for your fancy bookshelf.
Lovely.
Yeah, really good stuff.
Geek stuff, product reviews.
Okay, I have several things. You have several things. Let's do you first.
You want the surprise thing?
Oh, I forgot about the surprise thing. Sure.
You want to do that first?
Sure, let's do that first.
This might eat up your time. I'm giving you the pass here.
Nope, we're going to do it. Let's do it. Let's be conscientious of time.
Tanner Dahl.
Yes.
Has produced something that we thought they should produce.
Okay.
We saw it at New York Comic Con.
We did. Okay.
And now it has arrived.
Ooh, she is lovely.
Uh-huh. Look it is that. Jem from Tron.
Legacy?
Legacy, yes, sir.
And she has a... I believe she has a brief cameo in the cartoon as well.
Does she?
Yeah, she does.
So Jem is, you would recognize her if you saw her. She has white hair. So doesn't she dress Sam Flynn in his armor? And then
she does. And then she helps him in the bar.
On the arm of Castor. Right. Isn't that kind of her thing there? So the costume, slightly different than what we saw at New York, I think.
I think so.
I don't remember the gold banding there.
No, and I'm kind of thrown off by the gold banding.
Yeah, me
I
too.
I think that the gold banding is trying to achieve a luminescent effect.
Yeah?
That may have been present in the costume in the film.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it's hitting that mark. The other thing that I noticed, the first thing that I checked.
I know. I knew you were going to say this. And so did they. So go ahead. He's waiting to hear you say it.
The disc... Is that what you're going to say?
No.
Oh.
I was going to talk about the interchangeable hands.
I noticed the hands, but that's not the first thing that I checked.
Okay, what's
the
first thing?
I checked the disc, and the disc looks to be the right size.
Yes.
Okay. The hands?
Uh-huh.
Thank you. Finally.
Thank you.
Thank you. I appreciate it. As a man who loves Tanner, as a fan of Tanner, I appreciate it.
I knew you were going to say
and
this.
Not only interchangeable, not mittens.
Not mittens, right.
Painted hands.
Painted hands. It looks like she does have some sort of gauntlety looking.
Let me see.
I'm not sure what they
are. Are you sure that's not her socks? Because she's barefoot. And normally those pieces come with socks.
It could be. No, well,
let me see.
Maybe. Can't really tell.
I could tell because I'll tell you how I can tell.
Because they're kind of knit off.
Those are socks.
Those are socks.
Because the oven mitt hands have a thumb piece at least.
Right.
Those are her socks. Yeah, normally they come with socks when they're barefoot. Yeah. I like it. I like the painted hands.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that sits odd with me is the gold.
Is the gold.
And
it seems, you know what? Well, let's talk about the good things first before we talk about that. Tanner Dahl's always real hair.
Right.
Real costumes.
Right.
Everything is there. I mean, with the exception of the painted hands, which is something we actually approve of.
Right.
Everything else is here. The likeness is great. The hair, the face. The costume is really awesome. It's got the right accessories and so on and so forth. So there's a lot of good happening here.
Sure.
The shoes. It looks like there's some sort of communicator or something in here with the disc. I'm not sure exactly what that is. Just because we haven't opened her up yet. I left this a surprise. OG demanded to see this before the show, and I denied him. The shoes, everything is real. There's tons of articulation. It comes with a base and so on and so forth. There's a million things you can do as far as posing and displaying a Tanner piece.
And I got to say, the likeness is pretty fucking good, too.
I said that.
Oh, did you say? I missed that. Well, it's pretty darn good.
Let's go past that as well. And let's say that in addition, Tron Legacy kind of by the wayside already. Yet Tonner still insisted on putting out this fantastic piece, and I think two more are coming.
And I'll tell you why it's good that they're doing that. Because despite the fact that it's by the wayside, Uprising is still doing very well.
Very well.
And it's an amazing show, in case you haven't watched it. It's on a hiatus right now.
Yep.
But all of the other Tron product that's coming out, all of the other high-scale Tron product that's high-end from other companies, is doing well.
Yeah.
So it's smart for Tana to continue to release
them. Totally.
Because
Hot Toys just put out another cycle, one, didn't they? Yeah. Have you seen it?
I have seen it.
Ken has it, doesn't he?
No, I saw. I haven't seen it in person. But I've seen it in action,
right,
so to speak.
Yeah.
So that being said, Tonner is smart to stay on board with the product.
Right.
I'm glad that they've made some adjustments.
Sure.
That leads me to be hopeful.
Right.
About some of the other criticisms we had about the other Tron pieces that were scheduled to come.
Uh-huh.
And who knows, maybe we'll see more in the future.
So let's talk about the only thing here that I don't get.
I don't get the gold.
I don't get the gold banding. And it seems really sort of tacked on after the fact.
Again, I think I just have this feeling that they're trying to go for
some sort of luminescent effect. I don't know.
And I just don't think it's hitting the mark.
Well, you know what? If it was just sort of running along the seams and so on, and so, I honestly think it would look a billion times better without it. So I agree. But, you know, like, let's talk about just this bit on the inner thigh right here. I just think it looks like it was sort of just tacked on after the fact. And I don't understand why they did that.
All right. This is not a great image, but
You find one?
I'm pulling up an image of
from Toy Fair.
No, I'm pulling up an image of
her
from the film.
Okay.
And I'm trying to find a big one, but
there's also there's like a random piece sort of in the middle.
You can see.
Oh, that's exactly. It's good, exactly, OG. What it is.
They were trying to nail that, and I think they could have done it with, I don't know, maybe let me see it again. Let's just turn it around.
I don't know that they could have done it with anything in the way that you're.
What if they had just done, and I want to say there's a piece that they've done this with before. If they had, instead of gold, because I think it's the gold that's throwing it.
Right.
What if they had just done like clear? Do you know what I mean? Like a clear material? Like,
I don't know, maybe.
Or almost like a translucent-y overlay?
No, not even translucent. Strips? You know what you need? Reflector tape.
Well, the problem is, I think the reflector tape might have clashed or been too close to the silver aspects of the costume.
But the point with the reflector tape is the way the light hits it. So if the light hit it, you know what I think we should do?
What?
I think we should do it
ourselves?
Yeah. I think we should do it in reflector tape and see what happens.
But that would be my only criticism of that piece. Honestly, my only true criticism of that piece would be that gold is just...
It stands out a little weird.
It's just off.
That said, though, the piece is phenomenal. If you're a Tron collector, of course, you're going to want to get this.
Of course.
They had another release. They called it Steampunk Wonder Woman.
Wow.
Which we'll talk about next week.
Okay.
And, of course, their San Diego exclusive, which we did not get, yet we were promised.
Well,
I'm not pointing any particular fingers at anybody, but you know who you are.
That happens sometimes.
No, it was Zombie Boy.
I know exactly what it was. I know exactly what it was.
I was so excited about that piece, man.
I saw.
I couldn't wait to share that with our listeners.
Well, it happens.
Well, let's hope maybe miracles happen and somebody who promised us something might come through with something. I'm just saying.
Let's move on.
From DC, now who are we now? We're DC Collectibles.
We are DC Collectibles.
Sorry, because I forgot about the transition there. This is the latest in the Batman black and white statue series. This is Dick Grayson as Batman statue by Jock.
Right.
So the point of this statue is there's many things about this. We now know for sure they're no longer numbering these statues.
Correct.
A humongous mistake, DC Collectibles.
I agree.
Humongous mistake.
I agree.
That's number one. Number two, they've changed the box art.
They
humongous
did.
Mistake.
They don't DC have the original sketch art on there
they
anymore.
They do.
Oh, okay.
Actually, this time, they do have a sketch on there, but not the point. The point, I think, moreover, is that it was perfect the way that it was.
It's bigger now.
Only for this piece.
Oh, okay.
They vary in size based on the piece.
Okay.
But this one is, The other, and here comes the other interesting thing about this one, or the different thing about this one. This is an action pose. And I don't mean I'm ready to fight action pose. This is, he is diving. He has a little stand underneath that pops into right. the tummy. And he is, it's a diving pose. He's diving.
I got to tell you, I love the pose.
I love the pose too.
Love it.
Yep.
I love how dynamic it is. And I love whoever sculpted it. I mean, clearly Jacques.
Michael Lacasio.
Okay, so Jacques, the art is clearly.
Lacasio. Yeah.
Jacques is clearly an excellent artist. I enjoy clearly. His art.
Yes.
But Michael did a fantastic job, I think, taking the 2D and making it 3D.
Hey, there's some words on the back.
Oh.
The Dark Knight takes flight. Free falling from the highest skyscraper in Gotham is the latest addition to the Batman Black and White collection, designed by renowned artist Jacques, and using only monochromatic colors, the statue depicts Dick Grayson's acrobatic abilities as the Dark Knight.
Okay, so that's there it, what is.
Coming soon,
Bane!
Yep, designed by Kelly Jones, Bane is coming in October 2012. Coming in September 2012?
Another Joker, right?
Another Joker. But it's the Brian Bolin Joker. So that's good. That's okay. No, really, it could have been anybody's Joker, and it would have been so cool. I know, you're upset. You're upset because it's two villains in a row. I get you.
I just, yeah.
This is going to run you about $80 retail. It's well worth the price. We've always said that. This collection now is phenomenal.
Where's the Greg Capullo Batman?
There was one already, wasn't there?
I don't think so.
Oh, maybe. Are you sure about
that? I don't think so. I could be wrong, but
you should look that up on your little computer. Of course, we love this series again because it's a series you can put all together and have them and have it look just phenomenal. As we used to have in Studio A, we no longer have them set up in Studio A. They're going to go up in wherever we end up, you know, kind of permanently, as Mickey would say in the Rocky movies. Permanent. He'll hurt you permanent. Permanent. What do you think?
I don't believe I see one. No.
Okay. Well, then one is probably in the works. Or maybe Greg Capullo is doing a villain.
Oh, I think he might have one coming out, though.
Oh, okay.
So maybe that's what it is.
So there you go.
So there it is.
That's my two things.
All right. We have one more producty thing to talk about.
Okay.
The new TMNT Turtles.
Uh-huh.
By Playmates.
Yeah.
This is the new design for the cartoon that's coming out next month. The end of next month, September
25th. It's like 3D animation.
It is. I love them. I really, really love them.
Okay.
First of all, I like the new design on the turtles. They feel like a healthy blend of everything that's come before them.
Right.
Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I see a little of that classic Eastman and Laird. I see a little of that classic animated series. I even see a little of the Imagi in there.
Let's talk about why we see those things. Well, clearly the design is more reminiscent, we should say, of the Eastman and Laird stuff a little bit. I can see where you're talking about it. As far as the former animated series, they retain their colored, yes, I said colored.
Bandanas.
Right. So they're identified by colored bandana and weapon.
Right.
And let's talk about the throwback to the original toy line is the weapons.
Sure.
They're all molded in the same sprue type molding that they came in years ago.
Main weapon is loose.
Okay.
Comes loose. But there are additional weapons on the sprue. Blah, blah, blah. Yeah. All right. Let me tell you why else.
Includes ninja arsenal sprue what it is.
They have... What I'm saying is I think 14 or 15 points of articulation.
Yeah, which is amazing because to look at them, you would think maybe the legs are lacking in articulation.
Nope, the legs bend at the knee and the hip. There's no ankle articulation.
That's fine, though.
But the arms have 3 or 4 points, plus the head.
Uh-huh.
So, I mean, they're nice articulated figures.
Yeah.
Let me tell you why else these are awesome. They're to scale.
Okay. To what scale?
To each other.
Oh.
Donatello... is a full head taller than Michelangelo, as he should be. And to my recollection, that's one of the first times that I remember seeing that. Normally, I mean, at least with the original classics, it was one turtle with different
Yeah,
paint
that's
appliques,
true.
Okay? Well, the other thing is they're different colors.
That's something I was going to bring up. Why is Raphael so dark?
But I believe that they were. In the original cartoon, again, the original cartoon, I believe that they were all variations on each other.
I don't recall that. I'm not saying you're wrong. I just don't recall.
Either way, I like that they're a little bit different. I like that each one has a little bit of personality. Okay. And so the amazing part about this, right? Let's take this from a technical standpoint now.
Uh-huh.
The fact that they're different scales, right? Means that they're not the same mold. Means that the work that went into them from production value is increased.
Right.
Because you didn't get to just use, you know, the same legs for every piece because the legs are to scale. Don's legs are clearly better than Mike's legs.
Was Don this angry?
Don was kind of, no, Don, Raph was the angry one, but yeah. Don was always kind of moody.
Okay.
I would say.
Looks angry. Very angry in this. Should we also say, something that was brought to my attention, that, you know, whenever we talk about the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, we always say the same thing. And that is, we love, 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 love the two turtle sets that were put out.
By NECA.
By NECA.
Amazing.
Amazing. Phenomenal. And every time we talk about it and we don't mention the fact that they were sculpted by the Four Horsemen.
Oh, do we hear
about it? We get a phone call or a text that was like, hey, you know, we sculpted those. I don't want to say who says it, but... And so mystery person, if you sculpted these,
which I don't believe that they did,
please let us know because they're sculpted pretty phenomenally. So in my opinion, I think they're sculpted pretty phenomenally.
All right. They've taken a new approach to April O'Neil.
Uh-huh.
As far as her character design.
Is she sexier?
No, she's younger, I would say.
So sexy.
I don't hate her. She's just not traditional. Let me tell you who I hate.
Who do you hate?
I hate Splinter.
Okay.
I hate him.
You got one?
I don't have one.
Okay.
Because I hate him.
That much?
Because I haven't convinced myself that I'm going to buy him.
Okay.
The sculpt is fine. Articulation, accessories, fine.
What's the problem?
The Badger paint applique.
Don't like,
no,
don't like the new design.
I don't like the color scheme. I don't like the black with the white. He doesn't look like a rat to me.
But you like Krang.
No.
Which I can't believe they've put in the new series already.
So, well, why? Krang is an important villain. He's a big villain. I don't hate Krang. I just, you know, it's not traditional Krang. That's for sure. Shredder is okay. Foot Soldier is okay. I will say, I hope they continue the line. I would love to see a Casey Jones in this style.
Yeah.
That would be pretty cool. I hate Splinter. Hate him.
Wow.
And all right, so I'm a Turtles collector.
Yes.
Pretty much every toy version of the Turtles that has been out, I have.
The straight up versions.
The straight up versions.
You didn't get like the Hollywood Monsters version of
or Samurai.
Or the Star Trek.
I did not get any Kitchen Sink Turtles. I have the four Turtles, Splinter, and April.
From every set.
If they're available, I have them.
What about Shredder?
I don't have Shredder. I don't collect Shredder. The only Shredder I have is from the NECA re-release classic line. Shredder, Bebop, Rocksteady.
Right.
Because I have that entire line.
Right.
I might have Shredder. I don't think I have Shredder from the Imagi line. Oh, no. He wasn't in the Imagi movie, was he, Shredder?
I don't think so.
So I don't. I want to buy Splinter as a completist, but I hate him so much, very much.
You know what I noticed, too? The plastic on the body part of the turtle
is a little
gummy and soft.
I like that though.
But the shell is a hard plastic.
I like that.
It's really neat.
You know what? There was a lot of attention to detail that went into these pieces, both from a production value to a character value. And let me tell you, what would you say that piece goes for if you had a guess?
$9.
$9 is. Did you see them at Toys R Us?
No.
Cheater.
No.
Liar. The reason I say that is because if other companies were putting these out, they would easily be
more.
1.5 to 2 times that amount. I am impressed that Playmates, with this much articulation,
diversity in sculpting character was able to keep the price at $8.99.
I'm amazed.
Playmates.
I'm amazed that Playmates is putting out toys.
Hey, well, Playmates has always done right by me as far as turtles go.
Right. I have two words for you, sir. Star Trek. That's all I'm going to say.
Fuck. They hit and miss.
That was, whoa.
That was
come a miss. Come on.
Coming off the...
That was a blind guy at the plate.
But coming off the Simpsons line and all the other... I mean, look, Playmates through the years has had some duds.
You're rather underscoring it.
I think probably next week or 2 weeks from now, we're going to talk about the 12-inch versions of these turtles.
Oh, yeah?
Oh, yeah, because I'm getting them.
Are you?
Oh, fuck yes.
Wow.
At least Donatello. I don't normally collect turtles in big scale.
Right.
But Don is my favorite. I'm pretty positive I'm at least getting Donatello.
You're getting them all.
I might.
You're just getting them all.
Why I might. If I can find them cheap enough as a set, at San Diego, if you bought them at San Diego, they were $100 flat for all four.
Right.
Retail, they're going for $35 a piece.
Right.
The big ones. But I will say, I saw a review of the big ones on Toy Break.
Uh-huh.
Fully articulated, different scales, different paint. I mean, they're amazing. They're amazing.
Okay.
So
you're getting them all. Why are you trying to stop yourself?
I haven't convinced myself that I can spend $35 a piece on them. I could justify Donatello.
Okay.
I don't know that I can justify all four.
I just know you're going to do it.
If I can find a set.
You're going to get Donatello and you're going to be like,
I got to find them all. Yeah. So anyway.
Yeah. You'll have real difficulty finding a set, I'm sure.
Well, I found a couple of sets on eBay, but they're like $200, $150.
Right. No. I mean, when they come to retail.
Yeah. But again, it's $35 a piece.
Yeah. That's right.
It's a lot.
That's right.
It's a lot of bread.
You have to put down your bread, sir.
Of a child.
That kid can go without eating for a day. Give him some of those vegetable straws he's so fond of.
I'm pretty positive someone might call someone on me.
Who?
I don't know. Daycare, maybe. I sent him without lunch for a day.
Not. Tell him he's on a training diet.
If my boy showed up to daycare with no food, they would alert the authorities.
Okay. So
because he is the best fed child. They make fun of me every morning when I drop him off.
Okay.
At the amount of food that he goes to school with.
Okay. So here's what you do.
What?
You don't eat.
Oh, so I don't eat. So feed my wife, feed my boy.
Feed your turtle collection.
I could go without.
There you go.
For a couple days. Okay. A couple lunches. All right. Before we take our first break.
No. It'll be our final break.
Before we take our final break. We've been talking for so long.
I know.
Our sponsor.
We need to give away some stuff.
Of course we do.
Which sponsor is this?
This is Luke's Toy Store.
Luke's!
Of course, we talked about them last week.
Right.
Lots of awesomeness over at Luke's Toy Store. Lots of Mini-Mates. I'd say primarily Mini-Mates.
They got a lot of Mini-Mates.
Plus those awesome display cases.
Okay.
All right. So you should definitely go over to lukestoystore.com. You should check them out. I will say that... they have the San Diego Thundercats exclusive set. I really want it just for Snarf alone.
Okay.
So if someone wants to buy me that from Luke's Toy Store.
Someone, is there no one selling a loose one somewhere?
I haven't looked.
Okay.
Maybe Luke's Toy Store has a loose one. I don't know if he sells loose. But either way, I like the other ones too. I like Mumm-Ra too. His Mumm-Ra is really cool. But you should all go over to lukestoystore.com. Check them out. They have a lot of awesome pieces over there. Again, I will mention those awesome display cases that they have because I think they're really great. If you are a Mini-Mates collector or if you're a small figure collector, I'd say if you collect OMFG. Oh, by the way, Luke's Toy Store did, they had an exclusive colorway for OMFG Series 1.
I
believe they might be having one for OMFG Series 2.
Wow,
but
nice.
That might not be confirmed yet.
Okay.
So if you collect that scale Muscle Men, those display cases are really awesome. And of course, you can get them over at lukestoystore.com.
Mini-Mates.
Luke, I'm assuming Luke over at Luke's Toy Store, gave us some Mini-Mates to give to you.
Nice.
We have four sets here. These are those Marvel versus Capcom as well?
This is Marvel versus Capcom. Iron Man versus Arthur.
Right. And I have Wolverine versus Beautiful Joe.
What was the name of that?
And Spider-Man versus Chris Redfield.
What's the name of the game Arthur's from?
It's probably on the back. If
no,
you
it
read
doesn't
the back.
Say, sir.
It doesn't say?
No.
I'm not sure.
I remember it. I can see it. Little Knight. It's a left to right scroller.
Yeah. I'm not sure.
What was the name of that game? Ghouls and Ghosts. Was that something?
Was that a Capcom game, though?
I don't remember.
I don't know. Chris Redfield, though, is Resident Evil. And Beautiful Joe is Beautiful Joe, I think.
I don't know.
I think is the name of that game. Either way,
This one is just a straight up Marvel two pack. It's got
Thor, one is awesome. Captain
America. And then the one I said, Iron Man and Arthur. So
I'm going to say that
four sets to give away.
All four of these sets are awesome.
Okay.
And I think that we are going to do contests similar to how we did the Luke Chu mini Tento contests.
Luke Chu, the guy with the book.
That's right. We're going to do two on Twitter.
Guy with the book I don't have.
And we're going to do two on Facebook.
Guy with the book I don't have that's not remarked.
So when you see the episode post,
uh-huh.
We're talking about Luke's Toy Store.
I know. Okay. It's just there's so many things about Luke Chu. It's Luke's Toy Store. We were talking
different
about
Luke.
I know it's a different Luke. I'm just saying it's reminding me. Reminding me of being upset.
You're going to go to the episode post for episode 258.
Uh-huh.
And you will see the contest rules on how exactly to enter
Both
the Facebook and the Twitter contest.
Right.
The exact way to enter.
Exact
because
way.
I can't tell you how many entries I threw out from the Luke Chu contest for people who did not follow the Twitter rules.
Did they open with, hey, Kev?
No. But the Twitter rules are very specific on what you had to do. And if you don't follow them, I can't count your entry.
Do we have a GVM one as well? Or is it just Twitter, Facebook? Or...
Yeah, okay. We can do a GVM one.
Okay.
How about we do, two through Facebook?
Okay.
One through Twitter.
One through GVM.
And one through GVM.
Don't forget the GVM phone number.
425-920-6050.
Uh-huh.
And do we want to do for the GVM one?
I don't know.
I'm going to say for the GVM one, you're going to call us up and you're going to tell us who your, we'll save that for Facebook.
Who you'd like to see done as a mini-mate.
There you go.
That hasn't been done before
as a mini-mate that you would like to see mini-mated.
Mated.
That sounds dirty.
Mini-mated.
Mini-mate XXX. Of course, don't forget, go over to lukestoystore.com. Check out all the awesome product that they have over there.
Absolutely.
Make a purchase. Remember, support the sponsors.
Because
it helps them and it helps us.
Luke's Toy Store.
LukesToyStore.com for all of the awesomeness.
We have a
link over at the website as well. Check them out and look for the rules on how to enter these contests.
Awesome. With that, OG, we'll take our final break and we'll be right back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 258. Everything old is the future past.
Take my love, take my land, take me where I cannot stand. I don't care.
Hey, this is Jules Stay from Firefly.
Hey, this is Marina Baccarin from Firefly.
Hey, this is Joss Whedon, creator of Buffy and Firefly and Serenity and some other stuff, and you're listening to Big Kev's Geek Stuff, you geek.
Burn the land and boil the sea. You can't take the sky from me.
And we are back with Big Kev's Geek Stuff, episode 258. Everything old is the future past?
Yes. But
yes.
Without the question mark, but yes.
Yes.
I give you a pass.
Listen.
You're not going to get it straight.
Beggars can't be choosers, right? I got the words in the correct order.
Do we, is this the point where we should talk about superpower collectibles?
It is the point where we should talk about superpower collectibles. Superpowercollectibles.com for all of your goodness. From statues to figures to comic books. Of course, you can go over there and check out all of the lovely product that they have. Of course, there's got to be something that you want. And of course, if you spend $50 or more, there is a coupon code.
Coupon code BIGKEV. And that gets you two things.
It does.
It gets you $10 off any $50 order.
That's right.
And it also gets you free shipping on any order over $99.
That's right.
Both with the coupon code BIGKEV.
That's right. I'm not going to say anything.
Good, good. Because I don't know if you contradicted me, because I know that that will work.
I know that it will work.
There you go.
Superpower Collectibles is an awesome sponsor of the show. They have some great product. Of course, like we say every week, support Superpower Collectibles, because they support the show and helps both parties out.
It helps everybody, including you.
That's right, because you get some awesome goodness from superpowercollectibles.com.
OG, what did we talk about on this episode of Big Kev's Geek Stuff?
Days of Future Past.
You know what? Can I just interrupt you for a second?
Sure.
Is the wrap-up sponsored by Superpower Collectibles?
It might be, I suppose, unofficially, officially.
That's an angle we have never taken before.
That is an angle we have never taken before.
Sponsor the wrap-up.
You know, I hope that Superpower Collectibles likes the wrap-up. Because, you know, some people don't.
Well, you know, there was a democratically thing that was done 4 years ago.
That's right.
In conjunction with the national election.
It was the same polling company that handled the Florida. The Florida polls.
That's like 8 years ago. No one knows what you're talking about.
They're not that old. We're not that old. What did we talk about tonight? Days of Future Past is going to be the follow-up to X-Men First Class or the next X-Men film in the franchise.
X-Men First Class 2.
Ghostbusters 3 without me, says Bill Murray. And Dan Aykroyd confirms. It's one of the best running gags ever.
Ever.
What else did we talk about this week?
Don't you remember? You head up the news, sir.
Yeah, but you know, my brain is like mush. Oh, Ben Affleck being pegged to possibly direct.
Now you know there's no T.
I know,
at the end of
I
his
know.
Word. Right.
Being pegged name. To possibly direct the Justice League movie, and Joss Whedon confirmed to direct Avengers 2 and the Marvel TV series for ABC.
What do you think? I'm Ben Affleck.
God, I hope not. In DVDs this week, while there was one major new release, The Lorax, there was a lot of
Blu-ray
older
stuff.
Things.
Yeah, that's
Adventures
coming.
Babysitting, right. Clue, Spaceballs.
Lots of stuff that I'm going to...
High Fidelity.
Lots of stuff I'm going to swap out.
I hear you. I'm starting to do some of that too.
As soon as it hits that $5 to $7 price
Word.
Point, I'm
Truth.
There.
Of course, then in comic books this week, I had a few. Harvest number 1 out this week. Arkham Unhinged number 5 out this week.
Mouse Guard, The Black Axe, number 5 from Arkaya. And from DC, Batman 12, Batman and Robin 12. The Batman book, holy crap, disappointing art
in
the
first
half. Amazing art in the second half. Some trades to check out. Matt Wagner's Grendel Omnibus Volume 1, Hunter Rose.
Right.
That's an awesome omnibus to check out. Scott Pilgrim's Precious Little Life, Volume 1, the color edition.
Right.
OG, racist. And from IDW, it's The Last Unicorn by Peter S. Beagle, a beautiful comic adaptation of that wonderful, wonderful book. In product this week, we talked about the Tonner Doll Company.
That's right.
Or Tonner Character Figures. Or Tonner Yada Yada, whatever they're calling themselves this month.
This is Tron Legacy Gem.
Gem, yes. Great character. We understand why they did the little gold piping.
We just don't agree with it.
Think it was the best choice.
Correct.
I say OG and I redo it with reflector tape, see how it happens.
I like the hands.
Yeah.
Kudos to that.
And yep, multiple hands.
I could be wrong, but it looks like the identity disc may have been changed.
Yes.
I like that as well.
Uh-huh, very good stuff. And also from DC Collectibles, it is Batman Black and White, Dick Grayson as Batman by Jock Statue.
That's right.
Going to run you about $80. Terrific edition. Again, it kind of steps away a little from the format, which has been kind of Batman standing more or less.
But I love the dynamicness of this one.
Yes, into an action pose, no longer being numbered, and the box art has changed, both of which were really not great decisions
right.
in our belief. And, OG, you had some product.
I did. We have the New Turtles by Playmates. What an awesome job they did at an awesome price point. You definitely need to check these things out if you're a Turtles fan. Even if you're not, just check them out.
They really are awesome. I'm actually considering
they are
them
really
myself,
worth
yeah.
it. Great representations of classic characters.
Yeah.
I look forward to the new cartoon that's coming out in September. And hopefully we see more figures in this line. And, of course, we had that awesome contest tonight, courtesy of our new sponsor, Luke's Toy Store. Don't forget to enter that contest and win yourself a couple of mini mates.
I just want to say also, if you're out there and you sculpted these Turtles figures, give us a call at the GVM line.
425-920-6050.
Because we really don't like to, you know, not give credit to people who sculpt toys, except for the people who sculpted the
of
Turtles
course.
From NECA. So.
We'll talk about those guys next week.
We will?
Yeah, a little bit. And,
oh, yeah?
and Maddie Collector.
Yeah. Oh.
Yeah, we'll talk about that.
Oh. Are you teasing?
I'm teasing.
You know, speaking of Maddie Collector, next week, this is an alert for everybody. If you've been keeping up on the Voltron series.
Next week is a release.
Blue Lion is next week.
Awesome.
And I think their Watchmen collection.
Starts?
No, it doesn't start for a while. But the subscription to the collection.
Right.
I think ended yesterday.
Oh, okay.
Unless they've extended it.
It could be, because the MOTC subscription ended yesterday.
Oh, yeah, so they probably all did.
Yeah, so yeah. I'm guessing that might have been subscription
oh,
day.
That's it, OG.
Good night, Big Cat.
No. No, we're not doing that. I know. Let's just take a minute and talk about it.
All right.
So Just Mike hasn't been on the show for like 3 or 4 weeks at this point. And we've been doing that good night Just Mike thing forever because I really like Just Mike and I want Just Mike to come back.
Many of our listeners don't know who Just
Mike
is.
Don't even know who Just Mike is. I understand. But we're certainly not going to go good night Mr. Fantastic wherever you are.
No, that would be silly.
Good night Best Buy Billy.
No, we're not doing that either.
Or Public Storage Billy, whoever he is now.
We're not doing that.
We're not going to say good night Angry Dan wherever you are.
Right.
We're not going to say goodnight, Monitor. Hope you're enjoying our stuff wherever you are. Right. You know,
none
like,
of that stuff.
I'm just trying to keep some consistency in the end of the show.
I know.
So, what? What were you going to say?
No, I'm just going to say, you know, we can move on. What's a greener pastures?
Then I'm just going to say this, OG.
Sure.
Goodnight, Joe Quesada, wherever you are.
And on that note, we cue the music.
Shack with the king. Can't stop these radical dudes. The secret of the ooh-ee. Chosen few emerge from the shadows to make their move.